Okay, I'm going to be in English, and I'll try not to yell very loud, because this microphone's picking up everything. Is there a clicker for the slides somewhere?
Yes, I
am. Oh, all right. Open Doors Organization, we are based in Chicago, Illinois. Our mission is to make goods and services accessible to people with disabilities in travel, tourism, and transportation. One of the things that we're probably most noted for are our market studies on travelers with disabilities and how much they spend. It's kind of what puts us in the news, that we spend $4 billion a year in the United States flying, that we spend $6 billion in hotels. So we have statistics that we've used throughout the years. We've done three or four studies, and the impetus for our studies was really from Andre and Isabel years ago at a SATH conference, S-A-T-H, a SATH conference where I met them and Laurel Van Horn, who is somewhere roaming here, and she joined our organization, and we decided that we needed to do some statistics. Open Doors works heavily in aviation. We represent about 47 carriers globally. I couldn't name, there's a million of them, but they're all over the world, and we represent all the U.S. carriers except for Delta Airlines. And I'm here today being sponsored by American Airlines, just so you know. We also are responsible for training Amtrak, which is our national rail. We'll be doing 400 trainings over the next year and a half, and every single training is a full day, and we'll have at least one trainer with a disability. So, the other thing that we do that is kind of the impetus for me speaking is that many of us use Uber now. And Open Doors is responsible for creating the two Uber products for accessibility. One is called Uber Assist, and the other is called Uber Wave, W-A-V, wheelchair accessible vehicle. We went to Uber years ago to discuss how to create access at Uber, and that really was the foray into me getting into the taxi business as well. In Chicago, we developed a centralized dispatch in 2002 for our taxi service, and they put a regulation on how many taxis needed to be accessible, similar to New York. The problem is that the taxi industry is not the same. So if I said we had to have 10% of our taxi fleet in Chicago accessible, it would mean nothing, because we have 6,800 taxis in Chicago, and because of Uber, only about 20% actually are currently operating. The taxi industry has been decimated, completely decimated. It is not the same. It is a shell of what it once was. When I took over Open Taxis in 2014, the value of a medallion, which gives you the right to operate a taxi in Chicago, was $325,000. I just bought one for $23,100. So the industry went from a bunch of rich guys who didn't listen to anybody, we could regulate them, and they didn't care. They did whatever they wanted to do anyway, the taxi industry in Chicago. Instead, Uber came in and really pushed the taxi industry to burst at the seams, right? And what we found was that Uber was lacking. Even though we created Uber Assist and Uber Wave, which is, it's a sharing economy. The problem with Uber is that if you operate on UberX, if you have a wheelchair vehicle and you're not putting it on Uber, that's why we don't have Uber for people who use wheelchairs, right? Because Uber the drivers come on, the partners, they have their own cars. People with disabilities, I thought, would put their vans on there. I thought we'd give people rides for free if they wanted them. But the truth is we don't. Nowhere in the world. So we created Uber Assist and Uber Wave. Uber Assist is where we teach you, as a driver, you go through training, how to fold up a chair and put it in the trunk, because most people with disabilities have been getting in and out of cars for years anyway. The second thing we did is Uber Wave. So if there were people who wanted wheelchair accessible vehicles, they could put them on. We didn't have any individuals put their cars on. Zero. Not one in Chicago. Zip. But we did have a couple people go out and buy four or five cars to put those on Uber Wave. So we do have some Uber wheelchair accessible vehicles in Chicago, but I saw the taxi industry being decimated by Uber, so I went to them and said, hey, forget the percentages of how many accessible taxis you need. Let me control them all, because I know there's demand. oh, you don't, nobody wants a taxi, Eric. You don't know, there's regulations. I said, your regulations are useless because the taxi industry is not the same. If you have not rewritten your taxi regulations to this day, then they're old and they will never work. I promise you they'll never work. Here's how I got it to work in Chicago. I said, well, everybody takes Uber now. So if I convince all the owners to put wheelchair cabs on the road, if I bring them the supply, they'll meet it with the demand. If I bring them the demand, they'll meet it with the supply, right? So that's what I did. I started with, in 2014, I had 75 wheelchair accessible taxis. I have 352 now because it's better to put a wheelchair accessible taxi on the road in Chicago than it is to put another car on the road, a Prius. Well, you ask how? Well, I created demand. I went to dialysis centers, senior living centers, hospitals. I even went to paratransit, which stinks in most places in the world. And I said, I'll help you with overcapacity. So we went out and we created open taxis. And we really look at it as for the people, by the people. I'm a person with a disability. One of the main reasons I took over the taxi business was is because my employees were not able to get to work on time. They're waiting hours and it was just annoying. Even with the regulation. Because if you have regulations, you have to have somebody to enforce them. And right now, every government is afraid to enforce anything on taxi operators because they're already getting beat up so bad. So what we did is I said, here's supply, or here's demand. You guys put these wheelchair vehicles on the road, and I will sell them for you. And that's exactly what we've done. We do over 200 rides a day. We have on-demand transportation. Isabel mentioned 30 minutes or less. If it takes my cab 30 minutes to get to you, he's in trouble. No excuse. 30 minutes is too long. That's way too long, especially in a small Canadian city. No way. I would never go for that. I highly train my drivers over and over. They come in every year to be trained. So we created an app with Uber developers. I have an app where you can see the cab, you can pick it up. But the truth is this, and Isabel touched this, it's more expensive to operate a wheelchair accessible vehicle because we tie down and that takes time. And how do you convince a guy to drive a wheelchair car when he's gonna do half the rides as a guy and not in one? Because he has to tie everybody down. And I can't tell you, we mentioned tie down securement. I get so many complaints in the disability community that my drivers force them to get tied down. Nobody wants to be tied down is the truth. Most of my friends who use my cabs don't want to be tied down. But I trained my drivers this way. We had a death. A guy didn't want to get tied down, a guy I personally know. My cab was rear-ended, and the gentleman was killed in the car accident. And my driver was in tears, saying he begged me not to tie him down. He begged me not to tie him down. I explained to my driver that when you don't tie somebody down, their family never cares. You with me? I don't tie you down and something happens to you. My family is not going to care if I'm injured. They don't care if you were being the nicest guy in the world. I don't want to be tied down. I always said, don't tie me down. We force everybody to be tied down because the families don't care. Your families don't care. If you're hurt, they're coming after me and everybody else. And I learned that the hard way. So now we require securement training and refresher securement training so that we use 4-point tie downs, and I have a zero tolerance policy. If I find out that you have not tied somebody down in all 4 points, boom. See, we don't need regulators in Chicago to punish our drivers because they have me. And I am a person with a disability, and if you leave somebody waiting for an hour, there's a good chance it's a friend of mine, and I won't accept that. So in Chicago, what we do is, as I said, it takes time to tie somebody down and do all those things. So how do you compensate a driver for that to get him to want to drive one of these cars? What we did is this, and this is what you all want to hear because this is the incentive program that creates the demand to drive these types of vehicles and buy them. First, in Chicago, a nickel or a dime of every transportation network company like Lyft or Uber, a dime goes into a fund that goes into wheelchair accessible taxis. So basically Uber is supporting the taxi industry in Chicago. because they don't want to put on wheelchair vehicles, right? So they give it done. Turns out they're doing so many rides in Chicago that the Uber and Lyft are, that the fund is huge. So here's what we do. If you want to buy a wheelchair accessible vehicle, I'm going to show you a picture of what we have in Chicago. We have what they're called MV1s. Has anybody heard of an MV1? It's the only purpose-built vehicle. Myself and five other gentlemen, we invented this car a long time ago, and it is that one in the middle. And that's the only purpose-built vehicle, meaning it's not modified in any way. It's not a modified van or truck. It's built just like that top car. And I have over 100 of them. They're side entry. We mentioned side entry. We don't do rear entry. I had it outlawed in Chicago. I didn't just say no. I had it outlawed because the only way, if you have rear entry, to enter the car is in traffic. Think about it. Rear entry, the only way to enter the car is in traffic. And they do that in New York. And they rear entry, and you have to get into the street in New York to get into a cab. So the MV1s that we have everywhere, they come with the tie-downs. And what we did was, is we said, okay, here's this money. We're going to pay, the city of Chicago said, we'll pay for half that car. So a $50,000 car goes to $25,000, makes it about equal to a Prius. Then we had to have another incentive, like, should I give, in Seattle, every wheelchair ride a cab gives in Seattle, they get extra $20. Well, for me, I do a lot more rides than they do in Seattle, and that constitutes to millions of dollars a year. So what did we do is this. Without taking any people's money or taxpayers' money, at the airport is where taxis like to be, right? It's at the focus of all their fighting. It's always at the airport. Well, what I issue for every ride that you do for me, not your first ride you do for me for free, the second ride you do for me, I give you two of these vouchers, two vouchers, piece of paper. And what it allows is the driver to jump to the front of the line at the airport. Cost is not zero, right? It cost me the paper and the ink. But it made 350 owners want to buy wheelchair cabs and 450 drivers because they can't compete with Uber. And I give them rides all day. They don't have to wait for street hails because I know that the demand is there. You know it, right? We all know it. We're sitting here because we know it. It's just how do you match that supply up with the demand? Well, we did it through this incentive program, helping people buy the cars. We did it that way. And now we have, sorry, Isabel, but I have 15 minutes or less. And it is 15 minutes or less. And I'm not kidding you. Sometimes you have to wait 20 minutes and people call me to complain. And I can't help but smile when they do it. I love it. Complaining that it took you 20 minutes to get a cab in Chicago, that to me is music to my ears because it used to take hours and days. So that is what we do. That is our incentive program. I don't want to, I was going to rush through my slides here, but this is what, this is kind of the path I was going to take here, which was how the current options, there are no options. What are the gaps? There's multiple gaps, right? Location, type of car. The MV1 is good for somebody in a high back chair. A modified van from Toyota will not fit everybody. That's why I have so many of those other cars, is because you have to have multiple options on types of cars. Not all wheelchairs fit into every accessible van. People need the service. We know that. We talked about the demand being there. We know it's there. And what a big role it plays. If I told you how many letters I get from people from out of town who come to Chicago and they're at the airport in their wheelchair, and I station guys at the airport, right? Because they're going to be there for their vouchers, right? They wait zero. The wait is zero. And the people just can't believe it. I get the nicest letters in the world. Like, I got off the airplane. I got in my cab. I was in my hotel in 20 minutes. I got there quicker than everybody who took the train downtown. So it is possible, and it plays an enormous role, and I just know that because of all the nice things people say. How do you find out what information is available? The city promotes it. We require the city of Chicago to promote it, but guess who else promotes it? My drivers. They are my biggest selling tool. They drive these cars, they go out, and they get the business. They want to help. They want to get the business. I got a lot of guys who love doing this. How many different options are there? In Chicago, we have paratransit, and we have taxis. That's it. We have some Uber, a couple wheelchair Uber cars. So there aren't a lot of options out there, but we do have a really robust public transport system in Chicago, our trains and our buses. How much? We talked about extra money. We don't charge extra money. If we did, that would be the worst thing ever. When I heard her say that, I almost cringed, because that would never happen in the United States, because we would never charge more for this type of service. But it's hard to explain that, because I just said a minute ago that it takes more time, so it costs more, right? That's why we have those incentives. You're going to have an incentive program to get it going until you get up and running. And then how do I book? You can book any way you want with us. I mean, you can go app, you can call, we have, you know, TTY, we have 30 million ways that you can book a cab ride with us. But you always pay the driver. All right, so why does this matter? Of course it matters, because this is who we are. We're all different people. There's so many, you know, no two disabilities are alike, right? And that's one thing I always tell my drivers, is this matters because we're doing more than getting somebody from A to B. When you take Mr. Xografopoulos to the grocery store and back, you've created independence for him, right? He can go to the grocery on his own now. It's something so simple as that, even though it's only a block away. A cab wouldn't really take a block away ride, but now they do, because we have these incentives. And then design, the last part of design, you have to design the right cars and vehicles. Like I said, if I drove around with modified vans, I wouldn't be able to pick up half the people in Chicago, because they have enormous chairs. Bottom line is, you have to have an entire fleet of different types of vehicles. We don't do rear entry, as you can see, because it's just unsafe. So there's design plays an enormous role in transportation, and it has to be designed properly, and the securements have to be properly. The MV1 that you see up there in the middle, it has two tie-down spaces. When I helped design that car, we wanted two tie-down spaces, because if you want to go out to dinner with somebody, you don't want to wait for each of you to get a wheelchair vehicle, right? Put both people in once, and we all go to dinner. We can fit in that cab, you can fit one wheelchair and four people, or two wheelchairs and three people. And that's pretty good. So that's really good design. All right, I think I've said everything that I have to say. If there's any questions, or you want to know more about our system, on how we do it and how we did it legislatively, which we didn't do legislatively again. We really did it by matching the demand with the supply. And I took what I call the golden apple to the taxi owners, and I said, I promise you, if you build it, they'll come. And I, like I said, I went from, in 4 years, I went from 75 wheelchair accessible vehicles to 350. And I add two or three every week now. So it's just growing by the dozens. Okay. Thank you very much.